Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs do go up on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings, so if you head over there, something popped up there kind of early this morning. You can take a look at it if you haven't done that yet. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, all right. You know, Dan, I found it, oh, I guess it's kind of interesting that the NCAA, well, basically came up with a new rule exclusively to kind of counteract the, what would you call it? I guess the LeBron James Rick Paul effect. They have said now that student athlete agents have to have a college degree. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting because obviously I don't think these guys are student athletes. Well, A, they're not student athletes at all, but B, are they really student athletes when they get an agent? Dan, I thought once they immediately sign with an agent, that negated the student part of the student athlete.
Well, I mean, I was confused by the whole situation to begin with.
So, you know, and I mean, I understand, you know, I guess I understand in a way, and I would be kind of surprised as an athlete. Wouldn't you want an agent with a degree in, I don't know, maybe finance or something like that, or business? You know, wouldn't you want a, you know, an MBA, you know, an agent with an MBA? You know, I mean, basically, Dan, you and I are agents. If we could just get guys to sign with us, you know, we could start the Sports Time Radio agency, and you and I can represent players.
Well, I mean, technically, all you have to do is take the course through the NBA to get certified.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Obviously, we're not friends with LeBron James, so we wouldn't land very many clients. You know, and I get the fact that Rich Paul really isn't an agent. He's just the guy LeBron put in business so LeBron could get the things done that he needed to get done to try to win again. You know, it's so to call, even to call Rich Paul an agent, I think is really a big stretch of the word, because I seriously doubt some contract negotiating time he's sitting down with anybody talking about a contract.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things I don't understand. You know, Jay-Z had to give up his ownership in the Nets to pursue his agency, but yet it's okay for a player to have basically own an agency but not be the agent.
Yeah, I, you know, that's one of those things I have a difficult time understanding as well. You know, you can go out and own a sports agency. You know, and LeBron does own Clutch Sports. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's a you know, whoever, whatever company heading it's under, you know, that company in the end is owned by LeBron James. There's no question about that. Rich Paul runs Clutch Sports for LeBron James. You know, and I mean, I can understand why a lot of people are against this, because let's face it, in the end, it's going to ruin the sport. You know, I mean, the NBA is bad enough as it is with guys teaming up to play together to try to win titles. You know, now you've got one guy who can recruit everything all together at once. You know, I mean, let's face it, it's bad. So, but I, you know, I don't know, like, if I don't think this rule really does anything. You know, it's like, okay, so whoopee. You know, it's not like Paul is going to go on campus and try to recruit guys. You know, if they want to, who's going to recruit guys if they want guys, man? LeBron James.
Yeah, well, that's what he needs a week off for the All-Star break, so he can go scout at college games.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you can't stop LeBron James from going to your game. And obviously, every player is going to want to talk to you. He's LeBron James. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure when he went to that Duke game last year, he did his best to recruit Zion Williamson. So, you know, I mean, you don't need, you know, Rich Paul to do any of this stuff. I understand the rule and what they're trying to do, but it's not going to affect them in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you know, you send LeBron who, you know, I mean, instead of talking to the agent, you're talking to the owner of the agency. How different is that?
Yeah, but if you don't meet the requirements for the NCAA, then they can't be a part of that agency.
So what you're saying is, yeah, but once they're out of school, they can sign there.
Well, I mean, their decision once they're out of school.
So,
but I think the NCAA, even though I don't like the organization, I think it's a highly corrupt organization. I think what they're trying to do is to kind of protect the students over getting you know, getting blinded by the star. You know, if LeBron James, you're an up and coming college player looking to go to the NBA, and all of a sudden LeBron shows up at your game, and you'll, like you said, it's the game. You're just gonna jump all over it, and maybe not really look through everything and just go ahead and sign. I mean, no offense, look what he did to Cleveland. Well, he made great deals for some of his friends. Now that team is in complete shambles.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, if you're a LeBron teammate, I mean, you're a happy guy. I mean, he gets his money paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problem, of course, you have is you don't know if he'll be there. You know, I mean, LeBron got all those guys paid in Cleveland and then took off on
him. Yeah.
So hopefully they enjoy the money because they're not winning anything. You know, I mean, they did get their championship before. You know, the NBA did give them one title. So, they have that going for them. But, you know, yeah, other than that, I mean, I guess money makes up for that. And as long as you got the one championship ring, you can always say you're a champ, right?
Exactly.
You know, I guess that's how you look at it. And I mean, I assume at his age now, he's probably staying in L.A. for the remainder, you know, now that his production company is out there and all that stuff. He'll probably be a Laker for the final whatever few years of his career here. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't think the rule makes a lot of sense. But I understand why they were in part trying to do it. So, you know, we'll see if it even makes any difference. I honestly don't think it's going to. So. Oh, but all right, Dan, you know, we're talking a little bit about it off the air. You know, we had a little bit of an issue. You know, we were a little concerned with Cubs catching when Wilson Contreras went down. It did end up being a hamstring injury. It's probably going to cost him about a month. You know, I was relatively satisfied with Victor Caratini getting the majority of the at-bats. I believe he proved that he actually can be a major league catcher. I know for the last couple of years, everybody had wanted to get rid of him, but once he got exposed to a little playing time and adjusted to the majors, I believe he's played about as well as you could expect in a part-time role. You are looking at a guy. I mean, he's hitting .258, but again, you got to remember he's only been in 52 games. So, I think he's doing okay, but the Cubs decided to add a veteran after they shipped Martin Maldonado off. They went out and picked up Jonathan Lucroy. You know, the Angels designated him last week after they couldn't trade him. So you had a guy who at one time was a 300 hitter. The last 2 years, not so much. He hit .241 last year. He was hitting .240 this year. You know, he does have a reputation for being a really good handler of a pitching staff. I don't believe he's a great defensive pitcher. Let's see if I can find out how he's looking percentage-wise here. He's pretty much average. He's throwing out 26% of the runners who've tried to steal against him. That's about the major league average, maybe a tad above. But he doesn't have a rocket to an arm. He's not Contreras or Caratini. I would still prefer Caratini to catch every game and just let Lucroy fill in. I have a feeling the Cubs aren't going to do that. You're Mr. Cub here. Where do you sit on this?
Late defensive replacement. Nate Caratini is having a bad day. Give him a day off.
Yeah, but do you honestly think they're going to do that? I mean, you know how they handle this team. You know, we've seen Joe Maddon do, face it, idiotic things with players. You know, is it really going to be like that, or do they just bring him in and plug him in, and all of a sudden he's playing, you know, 3-4 days a week?
I think that's more likely to happen.
No. At least until Contreras gets back, you know, then obviously it's his job. But, I understand you want the backup. I'm all for that. You need the major league guy. Nothing against Taylor Davis, but he's – I don't know if I – you know, maybe he's not ever going to be a major league talent. I mean, he is already 29. I'm just not sure if it's there for him. So I like the idea of them making this ad. I'm just interested to see how Joe Maddon handled this, and that's always a gigantic question with this team because, you know, you never know from day to day who's really going to be playing where.
No, and I think it's a little bit more to add to the defense because he doesn't really have the strongest bat.
No, he hasn't. You know, he used to at one point in time. I mean, he was a Brewer. You know, I mean, he was dangerous at the plate. He was never a big home run hitter. But, you know, he was quite dangerous there. But as soon as, you know, I don't know what it was, as soon as he moved on from Milwaukee, you know, and I think, I'm trying to remember what he hit in Colorado. I know he was there for a short period of time. See if I can dig that up. Basically ever since then it's been downhill. Oh, he did hit .310 in Colorado while he was there after they picked him up from the Rangers. But, yeah, that's the only time he's left Milwaukee that he's actually hit. So I don't know, you know, maybe the wear and tear has caught up with him. I mean, this is his 10th year. You know, so as a catcher, that's a lot to ask. I mean, he's 33. I believe he's been relatively healthy through his career. But, you know, we are talking about a guy who's coming up, you know, on 1,200 games. Obviously, he didn't catch all of them, but that's, you know, you catch the majority of them. That's a lot of wear and tear. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, but not bad numbers. .242, 7 home runs, 30 RBIs, but OPS is .681. So, you know, he's really not going to hurt.
No, well, you know, I think the thing he hurts is when he starts taking at bats away from Caratini. You know, that's when it's going to hurt the team. Because, You know, here you've got a developing young catcher that honestly is going to be at a premium. You know, I mean, basically what they have is the best trade prospect they have, because obviously he's never going to unseat Wilson Contreras. You know, Wilson Contreras is one of the best catchers in the game, probably in the top two or three easy. You know, there's no way Caratini ever beats him out. But, you know, that's a hell of a trade chip. So, you know, and I mean, you can find, you know, you can pull guys like LaCroix, you know, off the scrap heap on a daily basis. I mean, I believe the Diamondbacks just designated Blake Swihart today. I saw Tim Fedorovich got designated by the Rangers. So, you know, these kind of catchers are, you know, a dime a dozen when it, you know, when it comes to this kind of fill-in. It's just finding the veteran guy you like. I mean, you could throw David Ross right into that mix. I mean, he was a light-hitting catcher that everybody loved and became a folk hero. But let's face it, David Ross was never a great player. So,
oh, I thought
we'll...
No, but he did know how to work well with a certain pitcher. So that helped him.
No, you know, that's the thing. I mean, that's how these guys stick around. You know, when you're a light-hitting catcher, the way to hang out in the majors is either, A, you're a great defender, or maybe you're a great pitch framer. Yeah, okay. You know, or, you know, you just work well with a staff. You know, I mean, Greg Maddux kept, I believe it was Eddie Perez in the majors for probably 4 or 5 more years than he should have because he was his personal catcher. You know, and Maddux didn't want to throw to anybody else. Obviously, you're going to do what Greg Maddux wants. So, you know, there you go. Once a week, Eddie Perez runs out there and catches Greg Maddux. So, you know, as a catcher, there's your best tip. Become best friends with a great starting pitcher. And you will probably always have a job. So, you know, that will be of a great help to you. So, you know, we'll see. And, you know, hopefully LaCroix is, it's a plus for the team. And it does seem like a need they need to fill. So, you know, I'll try to be positive about it. It's just, you know, it's not even the move itself. It's just, I'm in that mode where I'm just so tired of Cubs fans. Yeah, you know, not so much you because you're not an over-the-top moron like a lot of these guys are. But, you know, like I mentioned to you earlier that, you know, now, you know, Schomburg too is pushing for the Cubs to re-sign Nick Castellanos. You know, even though we've got a crop of outfielders and we didn't need the guy to begin with, now he wants them to sign him long-term and keep him around. I don't understand it. You know, I mean, we're allegedly developing these outfielders, and now we're going to get rid of them for a guy who can't field his position in Wrigley Field, where right field is actually really tough to play.
And that's why Hayward's been so important in right field.
Right. You know, that's why he's a Gold Glove winner. You know, and then that, of course, is the other thing they seem to forget is that moves Hayward to center. So you got the poor guy playing between Schwarber in left, who's a below-average defender, and Castellanos in right, who's a worse defender than Schwarber. Are maybe these fans are just trying to kill Jason Hayward? You know, I mean, if that was the move the Cubs made and I was Jason Hayward, I would opt out just to get away from those two guys. So, you know, you're going to put me in between these two? Yeah, no, I don't think so. I'll go back out on the free agent market. You know, I don't care if I, you know, have to sit out till June to sign with somebody. I made my money. You know, you guys figure out how you're going to play between these two goofs. So... You know, but, people, yeah, you know, again, people seem to forget that, and You know, in reality, they have another, you know, Albert Almora is basically, if you play every day, he'd be a Gold Glove contender. You know, and he would hit better than 240. He's proved that when he played a little more. But, you know, he's another one of these guys that they don't like. I don't understand why they haven't traded him. I guess maybe because Ian Happ was a bust and they didn't have any way to fill the role, so they had to keep him around. Oh, yeah, that's right. And the Javi Baez to the out experiment blew up in the Dominican a couple of years ago. So.
Well, I was going to say, don't forget now. Happ hit a grand slam, so.
Yeah, well, today I know he's the greatest player in the world, but when he strikes out four times tomorrow, you know, everybody will want him on the bus going back to Iowa. So, part of my problem is, you know, they just can't see the damn big picture, and it drives me absolutely, you know, insane on how, you know, they live and die on almost at-bat to at-bat. If a pitcher makes one bad pitch, you know, he's a bum, but then he comes back and strikes the guy out and he's winning the Cy Young. You know, there's just no level-headedness or any type of in-between. It's either we're way up at the top or we're way down at the bottom. So, part of the reason I stopped watching games because I just can't deal with these people. You know, now at least when they come up to me and they say, hey, did you see this? I can say, nope. Don't even talk to me about it.
I just do the analytics.
It makes things a whole lot easier. You know, because trust me, I got a bunch of morons at work that, you know, think they know more about the Cubs and baseball than, you know, Ken Rosenthal. So it's been a lifesaver. You know, hopefully, you know, obviously when they get into the playoffs, because it does look like they're going to be a playoff team, you know, I will jump back on the bandwagon and start watching the games. I'm not going to tell anybody that, well, except for here, but I doubt anybody at work even realizes they can listen to this podcast because probably haven't figured out how to turn their computers on. So I should be pretty safe there, but we'll see how it goes next year. But if we lose game one next year, I might have to quit early because everybody will be talking about how bad it is and what an embarrassment it is. So, you know, and I know. People think I'm kidding. Oh, no, he's overreacting. What are you talking about? How was it, Dan, when they lost the opening series to the Texas Rangers this year? How did that go?
Oh, drive everyone out of town.
Yeah, you know. Weren't we trading Chris Bryant when that happened? He had to go.
Well, the entire month of May.
Right. You know, so it's just one of those situations. I just don't want to have to have to deal with this again. I mean, yeah, they lost. What did they lose? They lost 2 of 3 to the Rangers. I think it was coming out of the gate, and then they dropped their next 4 in a row. So because they were 1-6, and everybody was done. You know, Brian had to go, and, you know, this team wasn't going anywhere, and, oh, my God, all those Pecota projections were right, and they're going to finish under 500, and they're going to be the worst team in the NL Central, and, oh, my God, the ship is sinking, and we got to get off. You know, we got to get off with the Rats because they're the first one off the sinking ship. You know, oh, my God, we can't hang around, and, you know, Dan and I think you and I both have them going to the World Series, don't we?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't have them winning. I don't think you do either. But, you know, I have them getting there. You know, now you're looking at a team that it's 10 games over. They've actually extended their lead a little bit after falling back into second place. It's 3.5 on the Cardinals and the Brewers right now. And, you know, let's face it, if there's any long-term deal to this Christian Yelich injury, the Brewers are D-U-N done. Oh, wait, sorry. But, that's just how it's going to go. And, you know, the Cardinals made a big run. We'll see if they can, you know, get it going. It would be great to see the Cubs play a lot better on the road. So they're going to have to work that out. But, you know, they're in this race. They're going to be in this race. They're going to stay in this race. But, damn, you wouldn't have known that after the first week of the season, especially from their fans.
No, what do you mean? What about, was it a month ago?
Remember when St. Louis passed them? How many people had it over when St. Louis passed them? What was that, a week or two ago?
Yeah. Well, don't you remember when, right in the end of July, when Milwaukee, took the series, and then they came back and lost the series start August, this season was done.
The next stop.
Yeah.
I think it was right after the All-Star break. You know, they came out, they won three in a row, lost one to Cincy, won another four in a row, and then headed out west July 22nd and lost two games to San Francisco, lost two to Milwaukee, and then two to the Cardinals. And all of a sudden, they were season was over. Milwaukee was going to win it. But, you know, like you said, they came home and they swept the Brewers and then took two out of three from Oakland just recently. So, you know, I've had them going all the way, like you said, to the World Series. I didn't think they were going to win just because I thought the Yankees were kind of high on the Yankees this year. And, you know, I think that they're kind of proving it. And, you know, another thing we talked about with the Central is from the beginning was how are the Brewers going to survive blowing up all their bullpen in April and May. And I think now it's clear they've started to lose their steam regardless of a Christian Yelich injury.
Oh, what do you mean? They're great. I can still remember the one time they moved into first place in the Central, and Chris Rosen, all his idiocy, went on intentional talk and actually said the NL Central was over and that the Brewers would run away with the division because they had just moved into first place. Now, I guarantee you, if you were to ask him that, he would completely deny it and say he never said that, because that's what these guys do. You know, they throw these big-time statements out there, but when you call them out on it, oh, God, no, I would never say something like that. What are you talking about? And obviously the MLB Network isn't going to let me go through the tape to figure that out. And to tell you the truth, I don't remember what day it was. I really should start, you know, putting that stuff in a Google sheet or something, you know.
But, you know, I mean, it's interesting. I kind of helped my nerves. And, you know, there was a downtime for the Cubs. But, like I said, it's a roller coaster. It's a marathon. You know, they're not going to win unlike everyone thought they were going to with the first win of the season against Texas. They're not going to win 162 games.
Yeah, you know, I think that becomes the biggest problem is the fact that, you know, when they win the first game, they're going to win every game of the season. But then when they lose, they're going to lose every game from then on out. And it's just kind of like, guys, this is – baseball, it doesn't work like that. I mean, not even the bad teams, you know, lose every game. You know, it's not like the NFL where teams won't win a game during the season. You know, there's just too many games for that to happen. So, it's batty, and I get it. You know, hey, great, you're a fan and you're rooting for the team, but have a little bit of common sense when it comes to rooting for the team. Even at this stage, if they were to go on a 5-game losing streak, it wouldn't be over.
No, I think part of the problem is that You know, I kind of laughed the other day. My wife and I drove past the car that said there was a decal on the right side that said I was a Cubs fan before it was cool. And she and I just, you know, we were dying laughing. But, you know, and I'm not even going to be one of those, oh, you know, like my father-in-law or my brother-in-law, oh, you bandwagon jumpers. Because, I think whoever supports should support it. But I think the thing that for the casual fan, what they don't realize is you just quit watching the broadcast. You know, maybe, you know, stick maybe a little bit more to your local stuff. But quit watching the National. Quit going to ESPN. Quit going to the MLB Network.
Yeah.
If they're just, you're just going to regurgitate exactly what they say. I mean,
right.
If you don't believe me, you know, my nephew, when it comes to the NBA, he regurgitates what they say. You know, I mean, Russell Westbrook had an MVP caliber year, but yet, you know, what did you say about him? That, you know, mainstream was saying his career's over, he's done, and he's going to, you know, play third fiddle down in Houston, which I don't buy for 1 minute. But, you know, that's part of the problem is you've got the national media where they just, you know, kind of dictate and everyone just follows suit like the Pied Piper.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it will be interesting here because the Cubs are going on a 10-game road trip, and they have been bad on the road. You know, it's starting out, in Cincinnati tomorrow, you know, and the Reds have actually won 4 of their last 5. They've been playing a lot better as of late. So, it's not going to be simple for them to walk in there and get the win. I mean, what I do like is I believe that, you know, the Cubs have the better starting pitching, except for maybe when Trevor Bauer goes up against Darvish. I know Yu has been good, but I still don't trust him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the advantage the Cubs are going to have over a lot of teams is they have 5 legitimate starters. You know, it's not like when you're running 3 guys out there and 2 openers and praying to God that you can fill the void, you know, in those 2 games. You know, this is 5 legitimate starting major league pitchers, and there aren't a lot of teams out there that can say that. So, you know, that's a gigantic advantage for them that, you know, they have over a lot of teams. I mean, honestly, I would be hard-pressed for you to find too many more teams that have a real solid 5-man rotation.
Well, I mean, the Yankees are one of the top in the game right now, and they don't really have a full-on top, you know, 5 like the Cubs do.
Yeah, no, they've been piecing it together all year with injuries and, you know, everything else. I mean, you know, even with the addition of Zach Greinke, I know the Astros have 4. I don't think they have 5. I believe the Dodgers have 5. You know, I'll give you that. And the Mets now, I believe the Mets now have 5. I'm trying to think who their 5th starter was. Maybe they only have 4. You know, you got DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, and Stroman. I'm not quite sure who's 5 there. So, you know, the Braves have a legitimate 5, but some of them are very young, and that's always a tough question to mold. But, you know, other than that, I mean, you kind of start reaching. I mean, the Nationals have 3. You know, the Phillies probably have 3 or 4. Maybe if Jake Arrieta wasn't pitching hurt, you know, it would be a different story. So, yeah, I mean, you know, what do you got? I mean, it's hard to come by. I mean, the Cubs have done a nice job of putting an actual rotation together of 5 guys. You know, and that, you know, obviously it's not easy to come by, or else every team would have one.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the funny thing, I know we talked a lot about Cleveland yesterday. You know, they look like they're going to be one of the teams, even getting rid of Bauer. You know, if Zach Plesac and Shane Bieber, I almost said Justin, are legitimate, And you add them to a healthy Kluber, a healthy Carlos Carrasco, and a healthy Mike Clevenger, you end up with a pretty nice five-man rotation there that, again, a lot of other teams just don't have.
Yeah, and you have to look up Beaver's Players Weekend jersey. I think it does not just fit on the back.
Yeah, I hope it does. If it doesn't, it should say not just on the back. So, I'm sure he gets that all the time. And, obviously it's going to happen. I've probably made the mistake here a time or two as well calling him that. But, just one of those things. So, But, at this point of the season, Dan, injuries can take its toll on a team. The Braves have already lost Nicky Markakis to a wrist injury. So they were down an outfielder to begin with, and now their highly touted rookie is out, Austin Riley. The report is that he injured a knee ligament, Dan, and now they won't say how he did it or even release the severity of the injury. The only thing they'll say is he hurt it in the weight room. So, you were a personal trainer at one point in time. How you feel about a guy dinging himself up in the weight room in August like this?
I've said it once, I've said it before. I think they do too much.
So, yeah, it's definitely a big key. And, the Braves do have some veterans. I mean, it'll be more playing time for Adam Duvall, who I believe actually was a 30-homer guy in Cincinnati at one point in time. Spent the majority of this year, I believe, in AAA. So it's nice to have that. They also have veteran Matt Joyce, who gets some playing time. And obviously they'll pair him up with Ender Inciarte. And who's Dan, who's their other outfielder? Why am I drawing a blank on their other outfielder? I know who it is. So, come on, think. Ronald Jr. You gave me the damn jersey last year. I should have known one. Holy cow. God. We should just end the podcast right now if I didn't know that. I got to go after that. That's embarrassing. So, they've got a solid quarterback there. I would have thrown Johan Camargo in there, but he's currently filling in at shortstop for the injured Dan Swanson. So he's unavailable to play the outfield right now. Charlie Culverson will get some advance there. He's their, utility guy. Every team has a Ben Zobrist now. He's their what you would call Ben Zobrist. So he'll get some at-bats out there. So they're going to try to patch it together that way. But, yeah, it's just so weird to me, Dan, when it's August and I hear weight room injury. To me, that's just kind of a spring training thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wish we knew more about it. I wish they went into detail about, how he did it. Did he actually do it lifting or did he do it on a treadmill, on the bike or whatever he did. But sadly, there's no report there, and obviously without the severity, we don't even know how long he's going to be out. But he was having a good rookie year. I think he was at about 240, and he was getting close to 20 bombs. He wasn't even really supposed to be up this year. They've been grooming him to take over. So he's been a really big plus for them in their lineup, and I guess we'll have to wait and see how long he's going to be out, but. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe some weight room rules, Dan. They got to come up with some stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they do too much. They do too much bodybuilding type exercises.
Yeah.
Especially now that the balls are smaller and they're juice. You don't need to be doing all that. Allegedly.
Yes, please. Just make sure it's allegedly. I believe, God, I think you and I went over this player, I don't even know, probably at the beginning of the year, I'm sure I had questions about it, but, I saw today that Dustin Pedroia had another knee surgery, You know, he played six games early in the season, Dan. He only played three last year. You know, he's 35. He's going to be 36 in 10 days. You know, he's had a really good career. Isn't it just time for this poor guy to pack it in?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I mean, he won himself an MVP. He actually is a career .299 hitter. You know, my guess is there'll be, since he's a Red Sox, my guess is there'll be a lot of push for him to get in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but, you know, weird things have a tendency to happen when, you know, when that goes on. I wanted to see if they go into a little more detail about the surgery here. They call it a knee joint preservation surgery. Boy, I would have had that a few years ago. That's probably done enough good. They do say he will start his rehab in Arizona, and at this point they're unsure if he'll ever play again. You know, I mean, I know it's, you know, obviously he doesn't want to give up the game. You know, he's been playing for 13 years at the major league level, but, you know, again, I mean, he's had a really good career. You know, he's won World Series, he's won MVPs. Yeah, you know, I think he's pretty much accomplished what you set out to accomplish as a, you know, as a player. Yeah, I think it might be time to walk away. And I don't want to see him be one of these guys who has to be carted off the field because that injury gets to him.
Yeah. Well, that's the way to go out. I don't want to see either. I think he's had a great career. It's just, you know, can you get him the rest of his money that, you know, he signed? I do think, in a way, he deserves that. And then, you know, in a couple of seasons, he could be special assistant to Theo and company.
Yeah, well, I assume he actually probably gets that role with Boston, right? He ends up kind of like David Ortiz. He ends up being some kind of ambassador or something like that for the
team. I was just being sarcastic.
Well, no, because if the Red Sox didn't hire him, you damn well know the Cup will.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you know, every guy they sign has a second baseman, so.
Hell, he may, you know, if we're not careful, he may be the Cubs' next manager. So, you know, just the way that kind of goes. But he does have, let's see here. He is signed through 2021. He's got $25 million left on his contract, 13 next year and 12 the year after that. So, you know, I'm sure, like you said, I'm sure they could work something out. I mean, it's Boston, you know, they're a big-time guy. So, you know, that can take care of. And I did leave off the accolade. He actually did win Rookie of the Year as well. So you throw in the Rookie of the Year with the MVP. You know, a couple gold gloves and two World Series.
Yeah, well, and the other part of it, too, is, you know, he's going to go through the surgery. Well, obviously, because I think, I don't know, I'm sure if it already happened. He's going to do his rehab. He's most likely going to need off the entire next season. And then 2021, it's kind of a wash. So, you know, I don't see why they couldn't give him money. And, you know, I don't see why he couldn't just transition to, like you said, being on the coaching staff, or well, guaranteed he's going to be at spring training regardless.
Yeah.
He's going to be at spring training this upcoming, you know, 2020. And then after that, I think if, like you said, special ambassador to the team, but not only that, you know, I could see him in a coach's role, and who knows, maybe we'll see him. Well, yeah, we won't see him, but you know, maybe he'll make the transition down into the minors for a few years.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, you know, we don't know, you know, if managing is something he, you know, would consider doing. You know, I mean, some of these guys just want to get out of the game and stay out of the game. You know, other of them, you know, like to stay involved and, you know, continue to hang around. So we'll have to see. He does seem like the kind of guy who would like to continue to be involved at some level. So, you know, and he seems to be good for the game. So it's great if he can stick around. You know,
yeah.
That's always a big plus. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I mean, overall, it's a sad ending the way he's got to go out with the injury. But, yeah, like I said, I'd rather see him go out this way just kind of walking away than them having to drive the court out to second base at Fenway someday to take him off the field. So.
Well, you know, and with the knee, excuse me, with the knee injuries, I mean, you know better than anybody, you know, he could hit a simple ground ball and take that turn two steps into, you know, on his way to first base and collapse right there. We've seen it before, so.
Yeah, I've done it before, not even running.
Yeah.
It's not like, it hasn't happened to me there, just walking.
Maybe he can partner up with Dennis Eckersley in the booth.
Yeah. So, and I did this, this is kind of, it's still baseball, but it's a little off topic. I thought this was kind of odd. I have a friend. Let's just call it somebody I used to go to school with. He was a couple years behind me. Now, when I got out of high school, the year after they got out, they merged my high school with another high school, and they changed the name. So technically, you know, I was not part of that school. Well, the guy I know, who I guess we could still say I'm kind of friends with, he decided that he wanted to organize a golf outing for all the former baseball players from the school, except the problem was he only wants the players from the school that it changed over to. Because I emailed him, and not that I could probably swing a golf club without my injuries anymore, but I was like, dude, you know, I went there before it changed over, you know, am I involved in this? And he sent me back a message telling me, no, they just wanted players from the merger and going forward. Now, I don't know about you, Dan, but I thought that kind of sucked.
That's kind of a kick in the junk, isn't it?
Isn't it? You know, it was bad enough the way, you know, I mean, they basically eliminated any history we had at that school when they merged it. You know, I mean, okay, great, it's high school, but, you know, to some people, I mean, that was their biggest athletic accomplishment was, you know, being the high school quarterback or cheerleader or whatever you were in high school. And, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. I mean, they were looking for baseball players. I played on the baseball team for multiple years there. You know, I mean, it wasn't my fault that they merged the schools after I left. You know, I mean, I couldn't stay. I was done. I had a diploma. I was going someplace else. So, but, yeah, I just thought it was kind of strange that, you know, you kind of slam the door on another group of guys who, you know, and I don't even know how many are still around, but I just thought it was kind of crappy. So.
Yeah, it'll be even crappier if you see pictures and there's guys from your class in there.
Yeah, well, that would really suck even more because that would just be one me, you know, or me to play. But, you know, that would be personal. So. You know, just kind of how those things go.
Well, it makes you feel better. My my class in high school is so involved that they didn't even throw a 20-year reunion.
Oh. Well, I know it's a little off topic, but I think I told you the story. I don't know if I ever told it on air. When they did our first reunion for 10 years, I came up on the couldn't find list. Now, you know, they couldn't find me, Dan. I was still living in my parents' house where I lived when I went to high school, and we still had the same phone number.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was just kind of – I guess maybe that should have been my tip-off, right, that just didn't want me around.
Yeah, well, you know for my
tenure,
I guess the turnout wasn't what they anticipated. But then again, you tried scheduling a bunch of people who went to high school on about an hour, you know, 45 minutes roughly, hour south of the city of Chicago. to having the reunion on the north side of Chicago, which for any of us would have made at least an hour, hour and a half drive.
Yeah, for some reason with ours, and I don't know if they were still doing this because I haven't heard from anybody from my class in years, but, like, the first two were, like, really extravagant. You know, and they booked them at, like, really expensive venues, and, you know, everything was just, like, really expensive, and I didn't understand it. I was like, why? You know, I mean, we live in a lower middle class area. Do we have to prove something now that we're out of high school? So.
Well, there was one or two that had to prove it.
Yeah, well, there's always that one. And I'm sure, you know, some of them probably went on to make a whole bunch of money, and maybe they were the ones who wanted to do it. But it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, why do I want to get dressed up to see you people? So, and I mean the people I went to class with, nothing derogatory there. Don't try to take that out of context. So, you know. But all right, Dan, since it is Thursday, we got a boatload of results already in baseball. Here's real quick. The Mets beat the Marlins. The White Sox beat the Tigers. The Indians beat the Rangers. The Blue Jays beat the Rays. The Braves beat the Twins. The Astros lit up the Rockies. The Cubs beat down the A's. The Dodgers got by the Cardinals. And the Nationals beat the Giants. Your winners are Steven Matz, Ivan Nova, Nick Goody, Brock Stewart, Max Fried, Garrett Cole, Jose Quintana, Casey Sadler, and Joe Roth. And then if you're looking for saves, we got one for Brad Hand and one for Ken Giles. So hopefully you had those guys in your fantasy lineup, be it your weekly or all day, and they landed some points for you. So everything has started now except for the Phillies at the Diamondbacks. That's the late start for tonight. And on the Mickey Mouse Network, you can actually get the Brewers and the Pirates if you're tuned in there. And then the app, if you're paying for that, has the Royals at the Red Sox. So, yeah, so you're all set. And, you know, hopefully you had a good day, and it leads into a good night for you. So I sadly had a poor night last night on FanDuel, but I'd been doing pretty well, so I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just hoping to bounce back tonight and see how it goes. I know they were worried about some really bad storms on the East Coast, but I don't believe it's going to affect any of the games. So hopefully, you know, especially with Philly out, I don't know about Boston and the Yankees or maybe Milwaukee and Pittsburgh. So I think I said Boston and the Yankees. It's actually the Yankees and Baltimore and the Royals at Boston. So, you know, keep kind of track of that if you're, you know, got anything going on. But it looks like those games have already started, so hopefully you're okay. You know, and then while we're just chatting minor fantasy stuff, I did set up the both Sports Time Radio football leagues are up and ready to go. We have the auction league set up and the regular league. So if you're looking to play, you know the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com, send us the email. We'll send you the link to sign up. It is free. We do it through Yahoo. And as we always warn you, the drafts will be long. And this year with the season starting September, I believe it's 5th, our drafts are going to occur the last weekend of this month. So you're looking at like August 30th and August 31st to do the fantasy football drafts with us if you want to get in. Again, just ship that email off to sportstimeradio.com. Dan or I will send the link back to at hotmail.com. What did I say?
Just .com.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Sorry. Yeah, and then Dan or I will send you the link. Again, it is free to sign up. We do it through Yahoo. You know, just the straight-up 20-team league, all for bragging rights. And Dan, you'll be happy to know I did eliminate the fucking tight end.
Woo! Yeah, but didn't you add another running back or wide receiver?
I added. It's a flex position. It can be a wide receiver, running back, and tight end. So.
Oh. Well, that one has three wide receivers and two running backs.
Yeah, I think that one has that because it doesn't have a flex. So.
No, it had a flex too.
Oh, did it? Okay, I didn't change anything. The only change I made was the, you know, I know everybody hated that second tight end, so I got rid of that. And then I added the flex just so we would have a flex because I didn't want to lose the position spot.
What I just don't understand is why Yahoo doesn't open that flex up to include the quarterback.
Oh, they do. It is an option, actually. I just didn't choose it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't have it for years, but I think it was last year they added it where you can actually have a flex of any position except for Kittle.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that because I thought that would be awesome in case you have two quarterbacks that, you know, because you're flex. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then, you know, Dan, I got to ask you, I've never been to cryotherapy, but have you and did you ever get frostbite?
No, I've never had frostbite, fortunately. I've read about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never experienced frostbite, fortunately, but your guy Antonio Brown, man, he got it in the cryotherapy chamber because he didn't wear anything on his feet.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah, so he's actually been unable to go through practice. You know, obviously, it's, you know, again, it's training camp. It's not a huge deal. You know, the biggest thing is, you know, he's on a new team. He's got to kind of learn everything. But, yeah, oddly, they kept this injury. I don't know if they did it intentionally or what, but they kept it secret for a while. But apparently he did it last month in France. So I don't know if you have to go to France for your cryotherapy or how that kind of works out. But you know, even here, the funny thing is, like, the Raiders have said that they are still collecting information on the injury. So I'm guessing that means they pretty much have absolutely no idea if and when he's going to be back. Nobody believes it's going to linger into the season. I just kind of thought it was humorous and, you know, with the way everything goes with Antonio Brown, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. So,
well, that'll be an interesting bridge to cross for him.
You know, so we'll have to see. And then, Dan, they were also saying today, I saw that the XFL sent out, I believe it was 800 invites to players, what they call draft-eligible players. Now, I haven't checked my mail yet, but do you know if you got one?
I'm surely not draft eligible. I think there's an age cutoff,
and
I don't think either one of us made that.
I'm not either, but I thought maybe. So I'm going to have to go and go down and check the mail. But AAF standout Trent Richardson was one of the guys who got an invite. So, you know, maybe that'll work out for him. A couple other names people know. Quarterback Landry Jones, who was formerly with the Steelers, got an invite. And then defensive end Tony Ealy, who I believe won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, also got an invite. So they're, unlike the AAF, it looks like we're going to get some players we at least know.
Hey, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
Hopefully, you know, it would be nice.
For a full season.
Yeah. Yeah. At least they should get through one season. Right? We shouldn't have a problem there.
No.
You know. I just want to know, Dan, I didn't see the name. I just want to know if Johnny Manziel got an invite. That's all I want to know. I'm going to be a student.com.
Radio.